When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into what we came here to do. Got a review, got a trailer we're going to watch, and we're going to review a person here tonight. Talk about your boy, Poof Daddy, Sean Puffy Combs. but we're going to start with a movie first, right here. Start with a movie that's been getting some buzz from people out there. Late Night with the Devil, Martin.
That people would describe this show.
They would describe me. Shit, that's every time you on, son of a bitch. It's a title I will happily take if I'm as good as this movie that people are saying is one of the best horror movies out right now. Now, I did see it. We have not talked about it yet, but this is the movie, one of my favorite actors out there.
Yeah.
David Dasmalchian, a guy who is not only a great actor, but man, if you hear his backstory, shit, he was running with the devil back in the day.
No.
Yeah, the devil was fucking him. He was the devil's bitch back in the day. This man, he came from a background of drugs and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this dude was about to die.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'll tell you what made it. My man, he had, this is the one that got him famous. He had them crazy eyes.
I know.
In The Dark Knight.
I know. Every time he comes up, people go, oh, it's that creepy guy from The Dark Knight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody knew his name. Uh-huh. Nobody knew who he was. The only thing that everybody knew about him, like, oh, that crazy motherfucker. The dude, you mean the dude that was crazy in The Joker?
Yeah, yeah.
the one that looked at the camera and said, yeah, he made an impression with that.
He did. Well, then he followed up. He was on Gotham right after that. And then he pops up in Ant-Man, and he's just been on a roll.
Yeah, he really has. He's a guy that has earned his success, if you've heard his story. And now we got this movie right here, Late Night with the Devil. And this movie deals with demonic possession. Oh, hell, man. You know, I mean, didn't we just do this shit? But wait, people. So there's a little girl that's possessed. Oh man, come on now. I've seen this.
Not again.
Yeah. But how many times have you seen a little girl pop up on a late night show and have her demonic possession displayed for all the public out there? And that's what we have right here. We got a guy who has a late night show. And for a while, he was the up and comer. People say, oh, Johnny Carson, look out. He's on your ass, man. He's about to catch up with you. But turns out, right when he was there, people like, yeah, I still like Johnny Carson better.
Yeah, yeah.
And he couldn't believe it. He said, well, now I got to get, you know what? I got to do something crazy. I got to do some Dark Knight crazy shit right here. Oh, I got to get them crazy ass with people. He says, you know what? All right. I've tried a lot of crazy things. I've done a lot of stunts and gimmicks, but y'all forced me to do this. Just so happens that I know a chick that has studied a possession in the form of this little girl. And when you know it, she agreed to come onto the show. And despite everybody's warnings, despite everybody saying this is a bad idea.
I don't know about this, Jack.
Yep. Ratings. It's never a problem when ratings are coming in. Turns out, just a little by little, strange things begin to happen on this show. And as those things happen little by little, the ratings start to go up. So you know what? You goddamn right we're going to do this possession right here for the public to see. And it's Halloween night, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man. We can't stop now. But of course, things don't go as planned. They'll hardly ever do when the devil shows up.
Man, the devil ruins everything.
The devil is why we can't have nice things, man.
You know what? I'm going to just say this, but in my assessment, the devil is kind of an asshole.
Come on, man. That's just
unfair. You think that's too much?
Man, that's just unfair. Okay. That's just unfair, man. All right, all right. You know who's an asshole? I mean, the devil just mind his own business. This guy's an asshole. He's the one that said, hey, devil, do my show. And devil, like, you sure? Hey, all right, man. You asked me. Remember that. I'm your guest. So this is, again, this is something Stephen King out there. Oh, man. This is almost on my level right here.
All right. All right, Steve. So
you almost as good as me. That's a compliment. A lot of people are talking about this. I've been wanting to look watched this movie for a while because of the good word of mouth behind it and the reviews. And again, some of the talent and performance in this movie. You saw this.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, well, you will hear Martin's review of this right now. If you saw it before, great. If you haven't, well, you're about to get it again. And this will be my first time talking about it. Am I in agreement with all the people out there who are saying that this is the latest and greatest horror film out there? And you know me, man. I'm hard on
you
the horror.
You are. You know, I almost don't want to show you stuff. Even when I was watching, seeing like, man, you got to see this. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Well, Martin,
if you tell him it's great, he's gonna come back going like, well,
Martin, they don't gotta do me like that. You and your little horror film, Martin. You ain't gotta do me like that. Oh, well, Martin, maybe we'll do this. Maybe I won't. And you know what? If I say it's great, then, you know, I'm hard on these movies. So that must mean it is a great film if I'm the last word on it. So let's go ahead and take a look at this trailer for Late Night with the Devil. And we'll be back with our reviews.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Darrow.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again. Well, Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it. Love it.
I'm trying to host a nationally syndicated talk show.
And I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do
what? TV. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
Good to see you again, Jack.
Lily, return to me.
This isn't about ratings anymore.
No one's going anywhere.
How could you let it happen, Jack? How could you let it happen?
Please be warned, anyone with young children in the room, you're about to see.
You okay, Jack?
It's profoundly disturbing and shocking.
You get out there, Mr. Midnight. But you're not going to dare them.
So let me tell you, man, I think the last horror movie that I was just kind of pissed at, not going off, that Bear movie was close just because they...
Imaginary.
Imaginary, because that was just silly. But I mean, the last one that just, I was just like, what are you doing? Why are you even trying this? It was this movie right here. That's Exorcist Believer. And you can see from just that small clip right there, this wasn't trying to do nothing different.
No.
It just took the Exorcist and said, okay. You know, yeah. Well, y'all already did it. You know? Well, I don't have to do anything different here.
Yeah, we could just scrape off the top coat and do something with that.
Yeah. Yeah, this tried nothing different. at all. It took The Exorcist and pretty much just added another demon girl in there. Mm-hmm. That was all.
This time we got two demon girls.
Two for the price of one. And I was just, and The Exorcist is such a classic movie. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are you doing the same template as that movie, only to be compared to it and called very much deservedly, inferior. Yeah. And not even inferior. It wasn't even that, to me, it wasn't even that great of a movie.
No. Even if you never saw the original Exorcist, it was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's almost an insult, really.
Exactly. I shouldn't take things personal like that, and I didn't. I'm sure they tried to make the best movie they could, but it just did not come out right because it was such an inferior film. You compare it too much to a great film that it was just not that good to me. And that is why this movie right here, Late Night with the Devil, this movie right here is the reason why that I'm so hard on movies like Exorcist Believer or any movie that looks like it. Because, this movie took all the usual stuff that you have that I criticized mm-hmm. Exorcist Believer for. You know, it has the teenage girl possessed by a shit-talking demon. Yeah. Check.
Yeah.
Projectile vomiting. Check. Levitating while the room goes crazy. Check, check, and check. Also had that, even things I think are silly now, the demon with the modulated voice. You know, he even had that. Took all those things that I criticized this movie for and somehow managed to still make it kind of fresh.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, how did you do that?
Well, it's because somebody sat down and they wanted to make a quality project. They had a new idea.
Yep.
And new is in making it retro.
Yeah. No, that's the thing with this. How did you do that? Well, that's because you didn't try to repeat what somebody else has done, not only in The Exorcist, but every ripoff after that. And even the movies that I like, it just kind of, I look at them more as parodies, even when they're not meant to be. Mm-hmm. That Russell Crowe movie, that's a parody possession movie. I don't care how much they're trying to be serious with that. The Nun and all that kind of, and all that stuff, man. You know, all of them have the same DNA to the point where it's over familiar. It's tired. You know, this movie, they didn't make it about some priest or saving the girl. The concept here is that they took, they took something that was a simple concept, literally selling your soul for fame.
Yeah.
Before a live studio audience, man. Not only did they turn the possession movie around with some of the same tropes and elements and made something special out of it, but this is an example in general on how horror can benefit from not using these tired tropes and using more creative concepts and more creative filmmaking. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm impressed with this movie about, not one dark hallway or room or alley, not one jump scare, not one.
Yeah, no, not one.
Something hiding in the shadows, looking, eyes glowing, none of that stuff, man. This is the anti-horror trope movie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what I'm impressed with here with this is that, everything, it's very inspired and bold to have a movie, a horror film, take place in an entirely brightly lit set. Now, you're looking at the stuff right here they're showing you. They're showing you things that are lit in shadow, and they're showing you, him looking at the audience and it's all dark. Those are rareness. Most of this is taking place on a set with bright lights, in a room full of people that are, laughing and making noise the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
there's not the same tone and mood and lighting that you see in all these other horror films.
Sure.
This is opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, man. And what is the benefit of that? Listen, if you can creep people out while the room is brightly lit,
mm-hmm.
then you've done something, because you're in an environment of comfort. You're in an environment of familiarity. You're mm-hmm. in an environment where you feel safe because the lights are on.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by people laughing.
Yeah.
So you don't expect this crazy shit to happen. you know what I'm saying? It catches you completely off guard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it does play on tension and the creep factor. Not the scare factor, but the creep factor, because weird shit is happening and it's brightly lit and people are laughing and you're kind of thrown like, hey, is nobody stepping in to do something? Should I be worried? I feel like I should be worried.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure, but
it's freakier because it's happening out in the open and because we never expected it. That's why you don't need a jump scare. You know, things happen that you don't see coming, and those are the things that kind of make you feel uneasy.
We're going to have to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, though, one of the old friends of our show, who are we?
Christy.
Something very intense here.
Perhaps, are we getting another message from Edmund?
No, this is... I'm getting the name... Minnie! Does anyone here know a Minnie, please accept?
Does this name mean anything to anyone in the studio? No? Perhaps a name that sounds like Minnie. Maybe it's like a Millie or a Mandy. Perhaps.
I had a great Aunt Molly.
It's Minnie!
God damn it!
Please, who will accept? So much sadness. I see a wedding ring. An unmarried man with a wedding ring. The spirit needs to talk to you.
See, that's what I'm like, shit, okay.
Well, also throwing you off is that you have a psychic, possibly a fake psychic. You have a magician and a television studio.
Yeah.
So these are all things that are known for illusions and falsehoods.
Yeah, but see, that's what's so creepy about this is that they play with small images.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things that'll start happening with people's bodies.
Yeah.
People will start doing things that were not scripted or planned, obviously, you know, and so things just could get very uncomfortable after a while. You know, maybe even if it's not scary, there's just this whole thing of like, okay, I'm like the guys in the studio. What the fuck is going on right now? And I really admire that about this. It's a horror movie. There are very much horror elements, as you can see right here with my man. But I will say that this movie gets by mostly on strong performances and great production. Like, your horror is only made stronger by that, because you get something where people are no good. You know, it's laughable there.
Yeah. I know when I saw the trailer and I thought, wow, this looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But just because the trailer looks great, you know, a lot of people can put that trailer together. But when you get to it, they kind of half-ass it. And so often when things are retro, like the 70s, it's like people make movies about the 70s or 80s. And if you live those periods, you can look at them and go like, you don't know what you're doing. You got the trappings, you got the costumes, you're kind of playing it like a joke. And this doesn't do that. The biggest thing that impressed me was just how authentic it was, the production and all the actors.
Oh yeah. No, speaking of the actors, man, listen, this is a great showcase for David Datsmalchian.
It's like a career performance.
No, it is. I mean, because this is the first time that I think I've seen him in a leading role where he's not a goddamn weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, everything that he's in,
yeah.
Even in Ant-Man,
yeah.
He was just kind of weird.
Yeah, and the Polka Dot Man.
And the Polka Dot Man, yeah, everything in, he's been either been moody or just crazy or weird or something. Mm-hmm. This is the first thing that I've seen him in where he's not acting like a mental patient. You know, he's actually very convincing as that phony, I'm just a regular guy like you kind of TV host, you know?
Yeah, from the Midwest.
Yeah, exactly. You know, corny, trying too hard to sell that image of, hey, I'm down to earth just like you. I'm a regular Joe, just a good guy. You know, if you know what the thing is, he's so good at this. You're right. He does capture not only what, you know, is this movie capturing the mood of a 70s TV show, talk show, late night talk show, but he captures the personality and the demeanor of that. Tell you, man, if he gets tired of this acting thing or doesn't work out, do a talk show,
right?
Man.
I mean, that's the thing I thought watching this, I was like, you know what? Back in the day when these shows were on, I would have watched this show.
Yeah.
I would have been watching this show if I could, you know, if I was allowed to stay up late.
Yeah. And furthermore, with the acting here, the girl that plays Lily, the possessed girl, Ingrid Torelli, she's very good, man. I loved her because she had those crazy eyes and she was always, now you don't talk, here's what I'm talking about. You don't need no dark hallways and jump scares. Put in just weird, just off-putting behavior. Mm-hmm. Like every time she sits down, I got a camera on you, every time she sits down, she just looks at the camera way too long. And you even have to tell her, Lily. She's like, yeah. Yeah. Like, look over here. You don't have to look at the camera the whole time.
Is this my camera right here?
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
And it's scary because she always knows which camera they're switching to. Because they switch the camera. She's still, you know, looking behind her shoulder. And it's like, ugh, stop looking at me. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very good, man. Really loved her in the movie. You know, you were talking about the look and feel of this, man. The production in this is amazing. You know, as you were saying, you see a lot of things where they try to do the 70s. And a lot of times, you're right, they lay on what they know. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, the 70s for us is music.
Yeah.
Bell-bottoms.
Bell-bottoms, yeah.
Clothes or something like that. The production here is a lot of fun. You know, they nailed the look and feel of a 70s talk show, late night talk show. The graphics, the music, the opening video, the set for the show. I love this because, listen, I grew up between 70s and 80s. I was very young in the 70s. So I still remember everything being just chocolate and mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was
yellow. Yeah, the tan suit he wears all the time, those brown suits.
Used car salesman suits everything. Yeah, those little ugly suits back in the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. There's a controversy with this movie. Have you heard about it?
No, it's a controversy with everything.
Yeah, that's right. Damn. What am I talking about? There's a controversy about them using AI art. And I think they used it for some of the graphics, like, hey, we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My daughter was saying there was a controversy about AI art. And I was like, I don't know where that would have been. But
I kind of know where it probably would have been. But okay, so if you know, fine. If you feel some kind of way about AI, cool. I understand. But if nobody told you, you wouldn't guess.
Yeah.
You really wouldn't know.
Yeah. I'm curious about one thing because I didn't think about AI, but something that really impressed me, it's a small detail. Mm-hmm. But when they were going through the history, Jack's history, his rise to like trying to beat Johnny Carson, but then his ratings start falling, and they show the cover of a TV Guide magazine with him getting like beat up. And the art, I was like, dang, that looks like art by Mort Drucker. You know, he used to do a lot of that kind of stuff for Mad Magazine, mm-hmm. but also for all other magazines. And I was like, man, that is dead on Mort Drucker. Of course, he died, you know, years and years ago. And even Angelo Torres, who was doing it also, I don't know if he's still around. But I was like, man, that is amazing that they got that detail in there. And I wonder if that's AI. I mean, I don't know AI being good enough to do that, but maybe.
It probably can if you put... do it like this.
Uh-huh.
Because I've seen people mimic like Jack Kirby
and,
you know, and other comic book looks. So it can. All I'm saying is y'all know what AI art looks like. You know, typical AI art. Yeah. These don't look like that.
They don't.
So if that is, and listen, I don't know if it was AI art, but if that's the controversy, let me just say this. I didn't notice any AI.
Yeah.
When I was watching this, and I knew about the controversy, and that's not me trying to defend something that I like. I'm just saying, if you don't know that AI was used for this, I don't think you'll be able to point it out. It's going to bother you.
Yeah.
If you really notice it, then you have to be looking for it hard. You got to be an asshole about it.
Yeah, because it's the examples you're talking about. They aren't on the screen that long. They don't affect the story.
No. And you know, you were talking about how the movie opens up. It also plays with a lot of format because it's rarely playing with what we usually see in horror movies are things that are not typical of horror. You know, like you were talking about, this opens with pretty much a short documentary. Mm-hmm. What's this guy's name? Jack Holder? Jack Delroy.
Yeah,
Delroy. Nowhere close. But they do opening documentary, an expose on Jack Delroy. His rise, him trying to catch up to Johnny Carson. And they start getting into like the seedier things of his background and how desperate he is now to like catch up in the ratings. And like I said, that's a little small documentary that they are opening up with. By the way, the narrator for that was Michael Ironside.
I know. Yeah, I caught his voice earlier.
Yeah. And most of it feels like an actual TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're actually doing the TV show itself, it feels like an actual show. I mean, because they are playing it like that. All the way from the stuff that we usually see, the announcer, the music, the audience, to the cuts that they do, the camera cutting, you know, all the way to like, you know, even getting the feel of an old videotape from back in the 70s. And when they do cut to commercial, now I'm going to say that this is, these parts a little weird to me, and I'll tell you why, and it is a criticism of mine for this, but there are parts here when they cut to commercial, you see a lot of behind the scenes stuff going on. And let me see, I already passed that. It's the stuff that's in there, that stuff right there that's in black and white. So this stuff I think is supposed to be because the documentary sets itself up as a found footage movie mm-hmm. that we're watching.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this in a little bit. I don't know how much the found footage works, but I will say on its own, it works as sort of like a TV show that is a workplace drama.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and it's, and if you watch it that way, it's well done. Found footage stuff, I don't know. That's weird to me. But also we'll say in addition to different formats, it's also a mixture of different tones. And, you know, I've been talking about how this is a horror movie. It's also a drama, it's a period piece, but it also has a lot of wicked sense of humor, Martin. You know, they're not afraid to have fun with this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's set during Halloween. Mm-hmm. You know, they have things in here that they like playing with, and they're doing intentionally for laughs. Man, your boy Gus, I think that's his name. He's yeah. just the whipping boy.
I know.
And he was meant to be comedic.
Yeah.
You know, but it's excellent how they will combine humor with some of the creepier elements at the same time. They have some timing here that I, you know, listen, maybe I'm wrong, but surely it was meant for a laugh because of the way, because they know that this is a cliche to do certain things in horror movies. And they do it right here, and you'll know what I'm talking about, particularly with music at this point. Oh, shit. See? Now I'm picking on them. Do something, Gus! I'm on the wrong thing there.
Lily, I understand that you have a name for this thing that lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm. I call him Mr. Wriggles.
Why do you call him that?
He kind of wriggles his way inside my head, and then he wriggles his way out.
But with June's help, you are able to control him.
June says that everyone has a demon inside them. But we can't always control them, can we?
Now, first, you're like, wow, they playing old cheesy music over there. If you're watching the show earlier, they showed you where the music's coming from. This instrument called a theremin. And they meant to have it come in uh-huh. to play like an old, you know, 60s horror movie right, or right. 50s or anything yeah. before that.
Time is. I got it, Jack.
So the music's playing on the old cliche of sci-fi horror theremin music coming in, but there's also creepy things going on, like mm-hmm. the glass breaking right here, you know, something mysterious happening. So it's, you know, it does have its humorous moments. They're funny on their own. They mix it in with the horror. And I thought that was pretty clever how they did that.
Well, I thought it's also clever, like I was saying, between the psychic and the skeptic and the magician guy and it being a TV studio, there's always an element of, okay, how much was yeah. planned and how much is this just shit happening and they don't know?
That's the thing, man. They got some great characters in here. Like Gus is the comedic relief sidekick, here, yeah. sidekick, you know. I forgot that magician's name who's now, he's out there to debunk
uh-huh.
all the, you know, all these phonies and these fake psychics. And he's funny, man.
He is funny.
That guy.
And he's relentless.
Yeah. So that actor's name is Ian Bliss. Yeah, he was Carmichael. He has a
Carmichael,
kind of yeah. asshole name. Yeah. Carmichael Hunt.
Yeah.
And every time he comes in, he's like, oh, Jack, who do you think you are? You're not fooling anyone. I challenge you. Just move over. Let me show you what you're really doing. You know, and he's, and for a while, you're on his side, no matter how much of an asshole he is, because mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you know, even you can read into what these people are doing. But this actor is just having so much fun with this role, man. you know, this, and that was one of the surprises about this movie, the how many great characters they had in there. I didn't know that they had so many.
Yeah.
I do have some complaints about the movie.
Here we go. Your little movie. It's enjoyable to a point. You like Carmichael.
You of simple mind.
Let me show you what they did here.
Just give you a little something good and you just think it's a genius movie. Oh, Martin, let me explain to you what they're really doing here. No, listen, I do really like this movie. I think if I had any complaints about it, it's probably because of a couple of things. One, there is something that I don't like that they do with horror movies, unless they can do it right. And also, I think that the movie, you know, it's a low budget film. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think the budget shows. And sometimes it's done to a really fun effect. Sometimes they make mean for it to be that way. And other times it's so cheap, it's laughable. Like, you know, like these little shocks right here. Uh-huh. You know, that looks like a, you know, very cheap after effect going on right there. And also they have these television noise that comes up every now and then. You know, the video will jumble and whatnot.
The glitch.
And if sometimes that feels like a filter more than an actual real glitch, which is okay. You know, it works, but it's just noticeable to me. But what really got to me again was I don't like the found footage format if you're not doing it right, because to me it's very noticeable. If those scenes when they cut to the black and white and that's meant to be actual found footage,
I think it's not.
Is it not?
Yeah, that was the impression I got, was that the black and white was like, this was actually not filmed. It's like, it's not what's on the video.
It's what we're seeing.
Yes, what we're seeing.
Okay, because if that's actual found footage, then that does not work, because it goes back to the old question of, okay, who the hell is filming this?
Right.
And how many cameras do they have on these people?
That's the whole reason to go black and white, to say like, hey, okay, the color stuff, that's what we found. This was what was going on behind the scenes. They're just showing that to us.
Yeah. And, I'm going to take your word on that, because, listen, we go from a grainy TV show to some, man, nice 35mm cameras that are shooting these people just bullshitting behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, so, oh, no, they did. So they said it was behind-the-scenes found footage. People tell them in the chat that that's what they said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if that's the case, I'm really loving everything in this movie, but that is sloppy. Don't do the found footage thing if you're not going to do it right. They had three different camera angles going on. All of it was pristine copies of whatever they were filming. And it's just like, that just doesn't make sense. Found footage, you know, you have one camera. People are aware that the cameras are being filmed. It's usually one long shot. So for me, that's kind of points off. On its own, it's funny, because on its own, I like the parts. Mm-hmm. They're well acted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. It's giving good tidbits of story. The movie's doing everything so clever. It's doing everything, you know, and it's exceeding or what you say, superseding or whatever, you know, that all these other horror movies, man, you know, that are doing the same thing over and over again. It's taking the familiar and just doing wonders with it. And then we get to this part right here, and I'm like, you couldn't do anything clever with that. In fact, you're doing it kind of sloppy. And that it stood out to me more, because everything is so good in the movie. I really loved everything in the film right there. And sometimes, like I said, man, you know, the effects are laughable when I don't think they're meant to be, because of the budget constraints. Again, you know, but they're doing well with the budget they have. I will say this, near the end of the movie, man, they just start doing some freaky shit.
Yeah.
And that's where the cheap effects actually work.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it's part of the old videotape grain.
Mm-hmm.
And where it was kind of funny and cheap looking before, here it feels like it's all part of the old, you know, of an old videotape.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn, like, this is just weird, you know, but it works.
Yeah.
It really works. Yeah. And I don't know. I those are my complaints right there. But listen, you heard me, man. I'm gushing over this movie. I think for the most part, they do a lot of brilliant things. Some little shortcomings here and there that keep it from being really perfect for me, because I was almost like, wow, this is amazing. And then they did some things in there that I was like, you know, wish I could be better. But that's, again, all that's personal. I think you probably don't have the same complaints that I do.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, those things that you see, they didn't bother me. And as far as I just took it as that wasn't part of the found footage, but I didn't get hung up on it anyway, because like you said, those scenes are really well done. They're really well acted, and they add so much to the story. And as far as the cheapness goes, with the effects, that leans into what I like so much about this, is that besides looking like an authentic 70s television show and everything about it really, transported me back to being young, watching TV at that time. It also, the whole aesthetic reminded me of episodes of Tales from the Dark Side, mm-hmm. or Night Gallery.
Yeah.
And so with the effects, being cheap or subpar, I was like, this just goes all into that. It just makes me feel even more like I'm watching something like that. It's just, I just couldn't be more impressed with everything that went into it. And I was like, man, this is what I want from a horror movie that's about so many other things.
Yeah.
That like it just builds a solid foundation before you even get to any of the horror, that when it comes, it's like, man, this all feels cohesive, and I'm immersed in this world, and I'm not so much questioning, or I don't have characters where I'm like, well, you're stupid, you should die. I was like, man, this is just a tale well told.
Yeah, what would you give it?
Oh, I give it a full price. It's one of my favorite horror movies of all time now.
Yeah. No, listen, don't take this the wrong way. I highly endorse this movie. I love the film. I love the film. If I'm giving it a lower rating than you, it's just for, like I say, just for some production things in there that, I'm critical about. But man, I would tell you, go watch this. It's in the theater right now. It is worth going to see in the theater. Go late at night.
Mm-hmm. Watch it.
And go late at night with a crowd, man. This is the movie that this is a movie that will is great to watch with an audience out there.
Mm, sure.
I would definitely watch this at one of a place like the Alamo Draft House or something like that, where where people, you have a fan base that loves genre movies.
Yeah.
They are the ones that are going to love this. This is also it feels like one of those geek festival movies.
It does. It does.
In the best way.
Well, yeah. Like, you're getting people who have an appreciation for old horror movies.
Yeah. 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 So I highly endorse the film. I would give it probably a very high matinee. But don't, like I said, I think it's pretty brilliant. I think it's a lot of fun. It's going to be on Shudder. But like I said, while it's in the theater, if you want to see it, I think it'll be well worth your time to do so.
It'll be really good to rewatch this movie on Halloween.
Oh, every Halloween.
Every Halloween.
I think this has the potential to be a Halloween classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is going to be something, especially with it being on Shudder, next month. This is something that I think people will put on every Halloween and watch, because it's appropriate. It's appropriate for that, and I think it'll last the test of time, especially with it already being a period piece.
It's so much like those older movies, except better than those movies. A lot of times, you start watching those movies and they're kind of fun, but after a while you're like, this is really not that good, or it's a little boring.
Yeah.
Kind of cheap.
Yeah.
But this I think it delivers.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would have too. Mm-hmm. So it's not, it's not very long. Yeah. Yeah, man. I would definitely go watch this. And I'm probably gonna be one of the people to watch this during Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep saying this, and I probably should shut up, but it's definitely more different feeling than a lot of stuff out there. I mean, even some of the stuff that I like, it's, it goes along with a lot of things we've already seen. Mm-hmm. This is very different from what you've seen out there. Yeah, you'll have fun. Yeah, two big ringing endorsements of this movie right here. So just stop fucking around those things.